If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the book of Romans. Book of Romans. Headed toward a crusade, and one of the things that I'm thinking about and praying about is personal revival. Last week we talked about what's God's purpose for my salvation. Why am I saved? And, you know, at the end of it, we talked about, all right, what's the next step? Well, the next step is the need for us to continually change. It's our desire to live for Him. It should be. And, you know, I read this quote, and it said, everybody likes change until it affects them. And, you know, we see that in our culture today. Everybody, I don't want to change. Well, you can change anything you want. Don't change what's going on in my life. And so that's where the argument is at. And it happens in the Christian life. We like change. We talk about it. Now, how God needs to work, and we're talking about revival and the need for a new, renewed passion, a renewed desire. That's great for everybody else, except for whenever it affects me. But God, He wants to deal with us as individuals. Romans chapter 6 is a chapter that you have to read over, and you have to kind of munch on a little bit, meditate. Maybe you have to look up some words and see what they mean. And there'll be some concepts in it, there'll be some principles that will really help you for the rest of your life. But there's some of them that, I'm going to be honest with you, it takes most of your life to begin to figure them out. Romans is not an easy book. Romans is a book the Apostle Paul wrote. It's not on the kindergarten level. That's kind of graduate level stuff. And there's some stuff in here that I just read through and I say, praise God. I don't know what all that means, but praise God for it. I'm not there yet. And then I read people that have knowledge of it, and I read what they say, and I think, okay, I still don't quite get it. So it's like one of the things that I'm looking forward to in heaven is having the Lord Jesus Christ or maybe Paul or somebody else teach me portions of the book of Romans, because I don't think I'm going to grasp it here in this life. And I know I'm not going to this morning. My mind is tired. My body is tired. And so I read this all this morning and I thought, why didn't I write something simpler for this week? I should have preached out of John 3:16 for this morning. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to see Tom, Jared Lynn, or saw Tom's body. He wasn't there. He's in heaven, but to see the family. But me and Tina and Amber and Ellie went down there. And I'm going to tell you, if you need to travel, take Ellie. She's a yakker, buddy. I know. She talks all the way. And she went to sleep last night. I don't know what time. But then the car got quiet and we just kept driving. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you stop at a fast food place, there's no such thing as fast food places right now. We stopped at a Popeyes and they had three people working there. You know, that should have been, here's our sign. We should have left at that point, but it took so long, we were pretty sure they were having to kill the chickens and all that. And finally, Tina walked up to him and says, I just want my money back. And we just left. And so she said, what are we going to do? I said, we'll just eat a truck stop. We'll just get some boiled eggs and you know, whatever else they have there and pray that, you know, we live through that. I like eating boiled eggs when I travel. I don't know why, I just do. I like boiled eggs anyways. Okay, that's enough. See, you guys can tell my mind is going to be off topic for all morning. Amen. I set my timer, and whatever it's over with, I'm done. What? Paul writes, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Look at this verse here. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Not really part of the message, but I have written beside this verse in my Bible, what or who do I need to die to today? You know, many of us in our lives, we think of sin, that besetting sin as I don't know, maybe anger or, you know, impatience or whatever else it is in your life that grabs you and pulls you back into the gutter. But sometimes it's a person. Sometimes it's the thought of a person. Sometimes it's what a person says. And sometimes we just need to die to that. And it's just, you know what? I'm not going to let that affect me anymore. I'm going to die to that. I'm going to die to that person. It may be your boss. Hopefully it's not your spouse. But, you know, maybe your boss or somebody like maybe your stepmom. I have one of those. And I have to continually die to that because that whole deal angers me. And then it brings into other areas of my life. So what or who do I need to die to today? There's probably something. There's probably something that it'll come into your life and it affects your walk with God. And that's what Paul's talking about here. It could be Fox News. Amen. Honestly, you know, some of us maybe need to die to that a little bit. Because, never mind, let's move on. We'll never get finished with that. 14 verses in here. When do it says 11 minutes? So, know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Am I walking in newness of life, or am I continually living in oldness of life? I'm a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. That wasn't just a one-time change. That's a continual growth process. Newness of life. What have you read this week in the Word of God? What have you prayed? What have you sensed from the Holy Spirit that was a new correction, a new encouragement from God? It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, Paul uses this phrase several times in this passage, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Positionally, before you got saved, you were a slave to sin. And all God's people said, you had to obey sin. You had no choice. It was your master. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you get a new master. Now, if you sin, it's because you choose to sin. And all God's people said, oh my. Amen. I don't have to anymore. I may want to, but I don't have to. I have now the opportunity to say no to sin. I'm ashamed often how many times I don't say that. Because if I don't actively say no to it, you know what I'm really saying? Yes. I need to say yes to Jesus, my desire. I need to say no to that. Once again, I go back to this thought today. What do I need to die to today? Who do I need to die to today? Because I don't have to allow that into my life. Jump on down to verse number 11. He says, likewise, in the same vein of thought, he says, likewise, reckon. Reckon is the idea of consider. Think about it. Reckon. Do something about it. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we're not careful, the devil will steal our joy. You know how he does that? By getting us entangled in sin. And every time we do that, the devil will be right there as an accusatory one, and he'll be saying, I told you so. You'll never get victory over that. But can I tell you this today? There is victory. You can have victory. Here, let me ask. Let's do a poll real quick, all right? Unofficial poll. Plus or minus 3 points, okay? Like any other thing you read. How many of you have seen God work victories in your life over a very specific sin. How many of you have seen that before in your life? Amen. I have. I think all of us have. And let me ask you, because of that, do you have hope for some of the others? Amen. I do. But sometimes that's where the devil defeats me at. I need to go back and consider some of the things that God has done for me. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse number 12, let not. Choice. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse number 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What's my member? My brain. My heart. Some people say, well, it's your feet and your eyes. Listen, before you do it, you thought about it. Maybe I need to, instead of fighting some of the outward expressions of it, maybe I need to deal with my mind. Maybe I need to renew my mind. Maybe I need to allow God to change my heart. So many times we want to set rules on our body and we say, well, I'm going to stop doing that. But why? Why am I going to stop doing that? I need to allow God to renew my heart and my mind so that I understand why I need to stop doing that. Most of us deal with certain things in our lives. For me, for the longest time, and even still today, I deal with anger. But anger is not rooted in anger. Anger is rooted in pride. Pride is whenever I don't get my own way, I get angry about it. You know, one of the things I like about the new cars, I like adaptive cruise control. I like that. I turn it on, I set it at 93, and I can set the cushion before the car before me. Whenever it gets a certain distance, the car starts braking. When they get out of the way, the car zooms ahead on its own. And I'm like, that's so awesome. My car keeps telling me, put your hands on the steering wheel. I'm like, woo! I'm free! Going down, woo! Right on down the road. And then Waze says, police ahead. You know what I do? Slow down. It's what you're supposed to do. Amen. Wendell says, you ought not to be breaking the law anyways. I don't. I drive the speed limit all the time. Amen. All right. But you know what pride says? Pride says, I'm more important than you. Get out of my way. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Whenever I allow pride, when you allow pride to come in your life and affect you like that, guess what you've just yielded to? Verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. We have a need for change. The question is, are we? Are we going to change? We have a need for. The Bible says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar. The word peculiar there doesn't mean weird. It means set apart. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If we will truly become more like Jesus, it'll take the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Number one today, we must agree that we need change. We must agree. We must get to the place in our lives that we say, and in some of our lives, it may be a complete overhaul, but in many of our lives, it's a tweak. It's something that we've allowed into our lives, that we're reading the Word of God, that we hear a song, we hear the Word preached, and it convicts us, but we're not ready and we're not willing to let God change that. And we would be amazed at what God would do in our lives if we would just simply admit, God, I agree with you on that. I need to change that. We need to change it because of our sinful nature. We keep sliding backwards. Oh, man, there are some days that I think, wow, I've gotten victory over that. And at that moment, I don't have victory over it anymore. It's like I'm on the mountain, but then I fall off pretty quick. God has provided a way of victory. And that is that our old flesh, I don't have to do that anymore. I can say no. The natural man doesn't always desire spiritual things. A Sunday school teacher asked her children, why is it necessary to be quiet in church? One little girl replied, because people are sleeping. Amen. Oftentimes, we're not careful. We'll not be sleeping physically, though some of us want to. But we'll be sleeping spiritually. The natural man is my enemy. The Bible says, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to his deceitful lies. If I don't see myself in light of the Scripture, I'll think myself much better than I am. I read this recently about the difference between men and women. Women will look at themselves in a mirror and they'll see all the imperfection. They'll see all of it. And it'll concern them. A man will look and say, not bad. Not bad. Amen. It's like, I don't see my stomach sticking out. Not bad. Not as bad as it could be. When a woman, she'll put on all things. Oh, I got to change that. Man will say, oh, comb my hair. Good to go. We lie to ourselves, don't we? Yeah, I don't. Please, Josh, I see you over there. Amen. All right, some of you guys are, amen. Some of you guys are aging better than others, amen. All right, some of us, I saw a picture of myself yesterday. I told Amber, I said, man, life, I'm so old. She said, Dad, that's because you're getting old. I said, get out of the car. We must agree that we need change. One of the reasons why we need to change is because our notions, our desires are often selfish. I was reading this recently in the book of Proverbs, and I thought about it for a while. It says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. You know, if I'm not careful, I'll do that which I think is right, and I need to allow the Word of God to dictate and determine what is right. I need to be at a place where the Word of God can simply move me where I need to be. But oftentimes we're so set in our ways that almost nothing will move us. Sometimes we need to agree to change, and whenever we do it, it'll require humility. Most of us probably need a change in a relationship with somebody. But it's going to require humility. I read this and I put it in here. I was thinking about it this morning. My potential lies not in my ability, but my potential lies in my humility. I'll never be what I should be for God until I quit relying on my abilities and I simply humble myself before God. My potential lies not in my ability, but it lies in my humility. If I'm going to become more like Christ, if you're going to become more like Christ, you have to agree that you need to change. We have to approach the Word of God not with this self-righteous attitude, but with, okay, God, I don't know exactly what's broken, but I'm sure there's something in my life that you want to work on today. And you may admit to Him, Lord, I'm kind of blind to it. Will you help me see it? Because I'm going to tell you, you know who's blind to their faults more than anybody else? You know what will expose my faults better than anything else? Some of you are thinking, my wife? No, the Word of God. The Word of God. Well, if your wife points it out regularly, men, it's probably something you need to look at and work on. Not only must we desire, want change, but we must reckon that the Lord's right. Have you ever found yourself in a disagreement with someone, and at the heart of it, you knew they were right, but you didn't want to agree with them? You say, well, I've never done that. Come on, be honest about your spiritual life. How many of us, the first time the Lord put His finger on something in our lives, the very first time we said, okay, God, you're right, that's going to change right now. Probably certain areas in our life, that was true. But there were certain other areas, God had to work on it for months and years until we finally said, God, you're right. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 11, he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what he says? He says, consider that God's Word is true. We live in a day and time where nothing is true. You can't believe anything today. The fact checkers on Facebook will fact check everything in light of what they believe is right, and it's never based on real facts. They just disagree with it. So they take it off, or they hide it. They mute church services because the pastor says something they disagree with. Not based on fact, just based on feeling. If we're not careful, you and I will run our lives on the same way. We've got to keep coming back to this. God's Word is true. The Word of God says this, and He spake these words, and many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We must reckon that the Lord is right. Well, if I'm going to reckon that the Lord is right, probably that means on some areas that I'm wrong. That means that, oh, maybe I need to humble myself. Maybe I need to set aside pride, and I need to have faith in the Word of God. Not just believing that God's Word is true, I need to have faith in it. When we do not exercise faith in the Word of God, then it doesn't change us. Here's some things that I read in the Bible that if I don't exercise faith, then it'll never happen. The Bible says that I can be born again. If I do not exercise faith, guess what? I'm never born again. The Bible says that I can have victory over fill in the blank for you. I want you to think for a moment. What in your life are you struggling with? You say, well, I'm not struggling with anything. What do people that you love and trust tell you that you're struggling with? If somebody is telling you you're struggling with bitterness or unforgiveness, guess what, my friend? You're struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness. And you are refusing to recognize that the Lord is right. Or you're reading in the Bible where it says, I can, you can do that, but you say, you know what, that's good for everybody else, but not for me. No, 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 no. You've got to exercise faith that God put that in His Word for you. Too many times, Christians are holding on to things that they should have let go many years ago. There's not a one in this room that can say, I had a perfect childhood. I have had a perfect life up to this point. We're seeing a wave of this happening in our culture today. And it's only going to get worse as our culture becomes more and more wicked. There are things that are going to happen in our childhood that should have never happened. And all God's people said. But here's the truth. I don't have to let what happened to me as a child or a teenager or a young adult dictate the rest of my life. And all God's people said, I can forgive the unforgivable because God's Word says I can. But the devil and the flesh and the world says, oh no, you've got to carry that with you the rest of your life. No, you don't. It'll destroy you, and it'll destroy everybody around you. But the problem is, we don't exercise faith in the Word of God on some of those areas. True. And all God's people said, true. I know that I don't have to hate. But I've got to exercise faith whenever God says, I can help you with that. Most of us do not have perfect family situations. I'm not talking about with your spouse. Hopefully that's near perfect. I know mine is, at least on my side. Tina, she was asleep, so I was making sure she's awake now. Amen? She's completely awake. That's not a problem. But the problem is the other influences. And if I'm not careful, I will allow the other influences to interrupt that. But more importantly, I'll allow the other influences to interrupt this. And I tell myself, and I think on those things, and if I'm not careful, I become angry and bitter. But you know what? The Bible says I can be free from that. So I must reckon that the Lord is right, and I must exercise faith. You say, how do I do that, God? Will you help me to forgive? One of the things that I find so many Christians are unwilling to forgive is whenever God does something in your life that you either disagree with or you don't understand. And if you're not careful, you'll hold bitterness toward God. He still loves you. And He still wants to help you. But you've got to reckon that He's right. All things work together for good to them that love God. Not all things are good. I talked to an old friend of mine yesterday. He has a son that's serving a 40-year prison sentence. 40 years. It's unfair. The sentence doesn't fit the crime. But my friend told me this. He said, God used something that is totally and completely unfair to smack me and my son in the face to get our attention. God has allowed some unbelievable bad things in everybody's life in this room. But sometimes he's doing that to get our attention. I must reckon that he is right. I must trust that the Word of God is truth. And I must step out by faith and say, okay, God, I don't even know if I agree with this. In fact, I don't. But I'm going to ask you to help me. And you fill in the blank. And then not only am I going to ask you, but I'm going to trust that you are. That's how you got saved, by the way. You didn't get saved by just saying, okay, God, I believe that. No, no, no. You had to step out on faith on that. Once that happens, change, a new desire begins to happen. I don't know about you, but I want a revival. I want a revival in my heart and my life, and I am so tired of things and people controlling my life. I want freedom. And I can have it if I will simply trust God in those areas. He said, well, preacher, I can't get past that. Yes, you can. I can't forget. Yes, you can. I can't go. Yes, you can. And the reason why I know we can is because the Word of God says we can. We must yield to the Spirit. Everybody talks about change. Everybody wants change until it affects them. I want change. Not I will not change. I want change. God says, well, then let's change you. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. Often what we call change